Hi, yes, I am Melina Budov, and I'm going to advance this way. I will be presenting on some risk behaviors among incarcerated female youth in Los Angeles County and talking about potential opportunity for intervention. Los Angeles has the largest juvenile detention system in the United States with approximately, although it wavers, around 11,000 kids detained every year, and about 20% of them are female. We've got three main facilities, Central, Los Padrinos, and Barry J. Nydorf Juvenile Halls around. It's a very large county. Upon intake to juvenile hall, we have universal screening for chlamydia and gonorrhea. And we have, as I will show you, consistently high rates of disease identified. The specimens are tested at our public health lab, which has a complete interface with the electronic medical record at the juvenile halls. So results are reported directly, and treatment is a very high priority. About 25% of the kids with new cases are released untreated, and so they're followed in the field. Here's an example of the testing volume. Again, many of you are aware that screening youth at juvenile detention facilities is a high priority across the country, and so some of the basics would not be surprising to you. We have achieved this for quite some time in Los Angeles. In 2013, there were about 8,000 boys tested, and a relatively high prevalence of chlamydia of 6.3%. Smaller group of girls, as you can see, 2,100, but we had 16% chlamydia. And here's some more information, which includes the results for gonorrhea, where we found 4%, and again, consistent rates of gonorrhea among the girls. Very little among the boys, 0.8%. Nevertheless, the results come in, so we know for sure. We provide an enhanced case management type of intervention, which we call Project Youth Empowered for Success. It's actually for everyone who tests positive for an STD at juvenile hall, but for most of the presentation, I'm going to focus on the girls. Case managers are sort of shepherding the results and making sure that prompt and complete treatment happens for these kids, and provide them with complete partner services, elicitation, notification, and if they're followed in the field, expedited partner therapy is also offered. The clients receive a kind of a detailed, comprehensive risk assessment, which is essentially used on the spot to develop individualized counseling, health education, and facilitated or linked referrals to additional services, both health-related, social services, and could be academic. There are a number of different things that that are needed. It's based on the individual, very client-centered. The risk assessment, as I said, is very comprehensive and includes the following, and this is where we're getting the information to report to you today. Demographics, arrest charge, but it's as reported by the kid, STD history, sexual risk behaviors, reproductive health history, drug use, housing, education, history of physical and sexual abuse, gang affiliation, etc. So here are some basics. This is a select sample of about 357 girls who were clients of our project, primarily in 2013, a few from 2012, and some from the beginning of this year. The average age was 15 and a half, but it ranged, actually this says 12 to 16, but it's a misprint, it's really 12 to 18. About half of them were African American, 40% Latina, 7% white, and 2% other. And their arrest charge, this is important, and you'll hear more about that. 60% of them were arrested for a warrant or a probation violation. So that's very vague, and often you don't know what the original charge is. So they're just coming back. They were picked up again or for whatever reasons were sent back to the hall. About 14% of them had a property-related charge. 12% were something violent, and we kind of collapsed these, and that's relatively small proportion. Almost 7% were on a drug-related charge, and 7%, I've written prostitution here, but it's really a prostitution-related charge, and we use a proxy. Usually it would be something loitering with intent. by definition, a minor is unable to consent to exchanging sex for money or for shelter or for anything else, and so they can't technically, and they are not technically, and are not appropriately not charged with prostitution. I'm going to talk more about this as we go on. So here's a little overview of some of the self-reported sexual and drug risk behaviors from the population, from this set. And many of you will be familiar. These are consistent with what has been found in other places across the country. They have an early age of sexual debut, an average of 14. Number of lifetime sex partners, we use the median because you can see the range is very high, very broad, and it's 4. They're presenting overwhelmingly. They're diagnosed with chlamydia, but we've got 8% that have gonorrhea and another 8% that are co-infected with chlamydia and gonorrhea. One person in this sample is a brand new HIV infection. Mostly reporting vaginal and oral sex, but about 10% report anal sex. Not a lot of birth control. More than half report none. About 13% report condom use, but this is a range of consistency, so at least some condom use. And about 12% do have some kind of long-acting or an injectable or a patch of different things, and 10% report experience with birth control pills. Drug and alcohol use is fairly substantial. About half have ever used alcohol, and about a quarter had their first time using alcohol before the age of 13 or by the age of 13. And in the currently, 24% and a quarter are using quite frequently. Marijuana, 3/4 have ever used, and about almost a third by the time they were 13 had smoked pot. 20% are using frequently. And then crystal meth, again, a third have reported ever using. About 27% had at least tried it by the age of 13, and 12% are using quite frequently. Here are some additional risk factors, and again, we're going to kind of drill down a little bit now. Almost a third have had a prior pregnancy. Almost a third have say that they used the condoms the last time they had sex. A quarter have been sexually abused or assaulted as children before they presented to us. About a quarter have been detained at juvenile hall previously with at least one or more previous STD diagnosis. And then I'll move down. 9% are currently pregnant at the time, and 8% have children. 17.4% have ever traded sex. And that would be, oh my God, 7% have ever traded sex, and that, you'll notice, is a much larger number than the 7% who were charged with something prostitution-related. They have very unstable living situations, more than half have run away from the last place they lived. These are excerpts from the case management notes, and it's really important to understand more about commercial sexual exploitation of children and these particular kids. So I'm going to read through them. This girl was kidnapped by the pimp. He threatened to kill her and her family. Had sex with the pimp and 30 tricks in the 30 days prior to being arrested. Another kid was abandoned by her mother at a gas station in the Mojave Desert at age 12. Sent to a relative who couldn't take care of her. Was put into foster care and was sex trafficked at age 13. Skipping down, another kid who had been in foster care much of her life began trading sex at age 11 when she met the pimp after running away from placement. Talk about other sexual risk behaviors. Somebody said that she would be willing to have sex without a condom for additional money because they don't usually get money in their pocket, and that crystal meth made her prostitute for 24 hours straight because she just felt that would help her get the drug. And so forth. Okay, so now what we wanted to do is take a look at a little bit of a comparison. We've got this sample of 357 of all the girls, and then to compare the ones who report commercial sexual exploitation and those who don't report that. And there are some differences. The age at first sex was lower for kids who were being sex trafficked. They had a much larger number of lifetime sex partners. A lot of them, a third, report sex with females. and about 20%, much more, report anal sex. Let me move on. They do use more condoms, and they have are less likely to have ever become pregnant. Half of them were sexually abused as young children. There's alcohol use, and they're very, very unstable. Three quarters of them have run away. This is very, very important slide that I wanted to share with you, and this is sort of the upshot, which is that girls who are being sex trafficked are generally presenting as very early sexual debut, much more likely to have anal sex. To be charged with prostitution, but as we know, that's not really enough of an indicator, to have gonorrhea, and to be African American. Let me move on to say that incarceration offers us an opportunity to reach high-risk youth, especially those who may be unknown to the system but are being commercially exploited sexually. And public health workers need to be on alert for this. We also need to have existing partnerships with multiple agencies, and they need to be prepared to respond and to refer as quickly as possible and as appropriately. These are very complex problems, and we are in a position to intervene, but we need to be alert and prepared to answer their concerns. Thanks to all the help. My colleagues.